You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Little after 5 o'clock here on the Fan. So the Yankee game is scheduled to go. The guys are on the field working out. So despite the weather forecast, gates are still scheduled to open in 22 minutes at 5:30. And the Yankees and the Giants will play baseball tonight at Yankee Stadium. Robbie Ray against Marcus Stroman. More on Marcus Stroman in a few minutes. Plus, we will get our formal review from Sean Morash, because last night we did go to UBS as promised. There was a new edition of Eating Morash, in which we did meet a bunch of people in Section 202 up at UBS Arena, and he ate. And we'll find out if he's
enjoyed fat! It.
That's not nice. Doesn't need to be said. But before we get to that, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, let's go. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. And by New Jersey Lottery, anything can happen in Jersey. So we had that classic caller when the Giants come to New York, the New York baseball, the San Francisco baseball Giants, did they meet with the New York Giants for dinner? So it got me thinking, both past or possibly current, the five best combinations of Giants to sit down and have dinner with.
Nice.
I'm excluding Tiki because I've already had dinner with him, you know?
Of course.
But here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Give me a table with former Giants closer Brian Wilson and former Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Wild hairstyles, a ton of tattoos. Let's chop it up over some linguine.
Mm.
Be a good table.
I don't remember
Brian Wilson. He's very, very...
Oh, he was crazy. He was...
He's nuts.
He had a very thick, dark beard. And he was good. He had a couple of really good years, and then it just ended very quickly for him.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
Get me a table with
I remember that.
Now you remember that?
Yeah, just looking at the beard reminds me. That's Nimmer's face now.
Former Giants third baseman Pablo Sandoval and current defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence. You don't even have to go anywhere fancy. Let's do this at a Wendy's. Let's just watch massive men eat.
Yeah.
Barely any conversation.
That's a good one, actually.
We kind of saw that last night. We were around the Jets offensive line when we were at the Islander game.
Oh, boy.
And that is massive men eating.
Yeah, I think they even hid the charcuterie. Here we go.
Number three.
Barry Bonds and Eli Manning. Two guys that have been passed up for the Hall of Fame. Bring me the bread and butter basket. Let's talk.
But Eli's going to get in.
We hope.
Barry's never getting in.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm. And no offense to Eli. Barry Bonds is the greatest I've ever seen. Eli Manning was okay. What? Why does that bother you so much?
Just hit the next one, Tommy.
Yeah. Number two.
Also, let me now be fair. Eli Manning won multiple championships. And, Barry Bonds won zero.
And championship MVPs.
Yeah, Barry Bonds won zero.
All right, number two for me is the late, great Willie Mays and Michael Strahan.
Return, coach.
Still better, aren't you, Tommy?
I just think stories of greatness being passed back and forth at the Olive Garden would be great.
Willie Mays and Michael Strahan.
All right, and last but not least, I like this one. Last but not least.
Number one.
How about Jeff Kent and Lawrence Taylor?
Jeff Kent.
A very cranky Jeff Kent. LT is always a wild card. Steaks, scotch, let's go.
Sometimes he's amazing.
Yep.
Other times, watch the hell
let's
out.
Throw that in a blender and see what happens.
I think I would have gone LT Bonds. I think I would have put...
Ah, it's too cliche.
You think so?
Yeah. Jeff Kent could be nasty.
Why, because it's the best of the best?
Yeah, I'm just looking for interesting combos here.
All right. I don't know if I like that Cinco. It was definitely creative. It just was like, oh, okay, I guess.
I wonder if...
You suck.
I guess if they're playing golf, it would be a good combo.
Right, but the joke wasn't playing golf, you know?
Yeah. I think they might hate each other at dinner.
Which ones are we talking about? Jeff Kent and Lawrence Taylor?
Lawrence and Barry.
Oh, Lawrence and Barry, yeah. The Eagles,
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can see that becoming very ego thick.
How about Dusty Baker and Tom Coughlin?
That's not bad.
That's a good one, actually.
All right, thank you, Sean. Now, before you leave, we did go to UBS last night. As promised on the radio, we went to Section 202. We went to Mighty Quinn Barbecue.
Mighty Quinn's.
Mighty Quinn's. We were going to get the burnt ends,
when we got there, it wasn't on the menu.
Right.
So we had to audible.
That's the other thing. Whoever pounded the drum for Bernans, I'm sure they're great at Mighty Quinn's. You got to give us something that exists at the place.
So he just said Mighty Quinn's burnt ends because they exist on Mighty Quinn's. Or the non.
Maybe they existed in past years at UBS.
Maybe. But it was not on the menu. Now, what was great is we got up there right as the first period ended. At this point, it's 4-0 Rangers, whatever the hell it was.
In fact, we missed the fourth goal and thought it was an Islanders goal based on the crowd reaction.
That's a good point. We thought it was 3-1 because the crowd was excited. Meanwhile, it was too many Ranger fans. So we got up there right as the second intermission was beginning. Sean was the first guy online. He got recognized like he's Elvis, by the way. Sean is very, very popular.
Because you are Elvis.
People are screaming, can I take a picture?
It's a Long Island thing, too.
Can I be a part of eating Morash? It was a very cool experience. So you pivoted to what item?
I got the Mighty Quinn's brisket sandwich, which also comes with hot chili peppers on.
Now, there is a video on the social media accounts if you want to watch and hear it. So very quickly, what would be your formal review of this sandwich that you had?
If Mighty Quinn's was serving this in the restaurant, I think it would have been awesome, too. I didn't mark any points off for the fact that it was stadium food. The bun was nice and toasted. The meat was tender. It was juicy. The peppers added a certain pop, a je ne sais quoi, if you will. And again, I would hit this on section 202. I think it's a home run. In fact, anytime I go back in regular seats, I think I would go back to Mighty Quinn's and have this. I gave it a four, and rookie score. I'm not doing the decimal system. One is more trash. Five is full-blown Morash.
Mm-hmm.
It got four Morashes there.
Well, exciting news for anyone that was able to participate in eating Morash at UBS Arena.
A lot of you did. Thank you.
It was great. It was wonderful. We're doing it again next Thursday because everyone's on board. Tiki's already said yes.
Yep.
To sit in my seats for Mets Cardinals? My seats!
Temporarily.
For what, an inning?
I don't know.
5 innings?
Depends on how many martinis I get at the Cadillac Club.
Yeah.
Well, we have a bar right behind us in the Old Caesars Club.
Is it the Cadillac Club?
It is not the Cadillac Club. It is now the, they changed the name. I forgot already.
Tiki, I'm going to give you an out here.
What's that?
So we're going to do this next Thursday. It's Mets Cardinals.
Mets Cardinals Thursday night at Citi Field. Yes.
Okay. And I assume, Evan, you have no problem, leaving for a half an inning to come do this?
Well, I was going to talk to you about that.
Huh.
No chance.
But if you're not willing to get up for anything, how dare Tiki not go venture over to the Cadillac Club?
And you left yesterday. Yesterday was different circumstances. I was hoping that either Tiki or Tommy could take video of you eating whatever food item we decide at beautiful City Field.
I hear you.
You have to play by his rules, Tiki.
What do you mean his rules?
He would be, you left for 2 innings over to the Cadillac Club, but you won't even leave your seat for a half an inning so I can stuff my face with a rice bowl.
I want to watch the Met game.
So everybody understands this.
Right. So what do you need to understand?
Evan loves this bit. We're growing it. I love it too. But never at the expense of missing a pitch at Citi Field.
I'm a baby. You know what? I will miss a pitch. Does that make you feel better? Yes, I'm a baby. Top of the third inning.
Go ahead.
We will go to wherever we decide to get a food item. I've already gotten a lot of requests on what Morash should eat at Citi Field because there's a lot of great options. A lot of great options. I will miss an inning or two in the top of the third inning. Now, I'm going to score while this happens because the beautiful part about Citi Field, they got TVs everywhere. But I will get up from my seat and I will take part.
All right.
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, so much.
Thank you. Just be
careful of what Evan picks food-wise. I'm going to guess it's within a section of where he sits.
No, I'm not going to pick it. Like, we are letting the audience decide what they recommend as the best food item at Citi Field. I've already gotten a few suggestions. But I don't think we're there yet in terms of deciding.
I love it, and I love how original this concept is.
Andrew, yes.
And reviewing it, never been seen before.
Andrew Schwartz, who says we met at Monday's game, said Morash should definitely go with the Citi Field Goya beef nachos in a Mets helmet. Make sure he gets a fork and a lot of napkins. That's a 10 out of 10 every time. So that's one guy just giving you a request.
So I'm looking at the burnt ends at Mighty Quinn's. It's in the Union, New Jersey location. In Midtown, they have it. They just didn't have it at City.
I'm sure it's great.
UBS. And look,
I mean, not UBS.
The concept here is we are going to all our venues here in the New York area. So it's not about going to a restaurant in the city. It's about we have such beautiful places. Yankee Stadium, which we'll hit soon. Citi Field, UBS, Barclays, The Garden,
Red Bull Arena,
MetLife. So we want to hit.
Not Red Bull Arena.
What's it called?
Sports Illustrated Stadium.
Thank you.
What's it called?
Sports Illustrated.
Okay. You got to get. Arena. You're in charge of getting us tickets for that event.
Yes.
I will.
Okay.
Whenever they start playing, you're going to go to that one, too?
They've been playing for a month.
Come on, man. Come on.
All right, thank you, Sean. We'll get to your calls, and I've got a conspiracy theory around the New York Yankees that I do want to share with you, especially tonight. Very important that this is out in the ethos for us all to analyze starting this evening. But a lot of people have waited a while. We do appreciate it. So Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey, the floor is yours, sir. How are you?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Good.
So, look, I got a Giants take, actually. It's a question. So I'm curious with the draft coming up, with them having the third pick. Safe to say Joe Shane's fighting for his job this year, right? He's on the hot seat, hottest of the hot seats.
Yes.
Right? Fair enough?
Yes.
So my thoughts are, a guy like Shedeur Sanders, that's not a win-now pick. That's not a pick that makes the team better next year to add more, you know, wins to the end of the season.
Unless he's C.J. Stroud or
sure.
One of
right,
those.
Right. But, I mean, but the Giants are building a team and, like, a quarterback room with Winston and Russell Westbrook. Russell Wilson, yeah. Basketball, football. but they're building that quarterback room to develop a guy like Sanders, ideally, if they were going to go with a young quarterback. So my question is, if the Giants have a chance to pick Sanders versus an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter, might Joe Shane make the pick to save his job and have a better season next year than the franchise quarterback that's going to be the next guy's, success story?
It's an interesting thought. I don't think that works anymore. We saw this with Matt Eberflus last year with the Chicago Bears. They gave him a respite for a season. We'll keep you on. You fire everybody, fired basically his whole staff, and kept him, and they drafted Caleb Williams. He lasted, 8 weeks? 9 weeks? Something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Got fired.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
We saw this in Carolina, where Frank Reich comes in, drafts Bryce Young. They're not very good. 10 weeks, 12 weeks, fired. So I think the NFL, even if you have some tenure and you have that argument that we drafted a quarterback and I'm a QB guy and we're going to get him right, it doesn't matter anymore.
They got to win games.
It used to work. It used to work.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it works any longer.
No, I think that they need to win games, and Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, if they're available, would give you the best chance to win games. I think that's really what it comes down to. Ozzy in Woodridge. Okay. What's up, Oz?
Ozzy.
Sean, did you know that Tommy DeVito was going to be here, Sean? Oh my God! What do I do? How's my hat? Is it crooked, Sean? I'm so nervous. Please, can you introduce me? Don't you know from somewhere before? Yada 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 yada. Tommy, how you doing? I'm Tommy Loogie. They call you Tommy Cutlets. I think you're great, but only because we share a first name. Did I say my name was Tommy too? You're Tommy. I'm Tommy. That's the only reason why. Because I know nothing about quarterbacks or football or anything, but I think you're the future because your name is Tommy and my name is Tommy. Did I tell you my name was Tommy? And I know over the last couple months that I thought you were the future and I thought I was the future, but both of us have no future anymore. But you're Tommy DeVito. I can't believe I'm meeting you right now. Sean, look, it's true. Thank you, Sean, for introducing me to Tommy. Oh, we have the same first name, Tommy. Do you know that? That's why I base my whole sports opinion on you, is because Tommy, and I think that when you're out there, for the couple plays that you're out there, that it's me out there, because I never played like sports or anything like that, but, oh, Tommy, oh, was it as good for you as it was for me?
Oh, shut up.
Right. Thank you, Ozzy.
Wow.
That was something.
That might have been Ozzy's best call ever.
I was just going to say, Ozzy just inspired me to do something. If Brett Beatty's in that lineup tonight, I'm betting him they hit a home run. Because if Ozzy and Woodbridge can rebound after how many bad calls in a row he's had, why can't Brett Beatty now?
Good call.
That was so
heard
man.
It here.
Yeah, that's
Brett Beatty home run tonight.
In San Francisco? No, in Sacramento?
Close. Close.
If he's playing, of course.
He's not playing tonight, so you're fortunately on a tricky spot. Well, I'm assuming he's not because they're facing a lefty. That was actual audio of what it sounded like last night when Tommy Lugauer met Tommy DeVito. Can you confirm that, Sean?
Yes. There was a lot of itching of the neck, the head. He was very nervous. There was a
Tommy D. Tommy.
Let's go to Jim in Levittown. Hey, Jim.
It figures I have to follow that call. Thanks a lot.
Right. Sorry about that.
Our bad, Jim.
Mine's going to be very plain and ordinary.
Good.
I do want to ask two things. The first thing I want to get is, did anybody check the voice on that guy who asked about the two Giants teams to see if he's the same guy who asked if a baseball team could go undefeated?
Yes, I've analyzed that. It is actually a different person. Because I thought the same thing. Like, is it the same guy? They may be friends with each other, but no, I do not think it was the same guy.
Yeah, because somebody called and said that he had a couple of friends that used to do that. Right?
Yes, yes, yes. Yep.
Okay, because the other thing I wanted to talk about, you talked about the successful franchises. If you had asked that question in, say, 1985, the answer would have been the Islanders.
No, definitely. Mm. In fact, the answer probably is the Islanders. Yeah. Because when Tiki earlier asked, because we were talking about how this area could support another team, but they would never get another team in baseball or football, but we could. So he said, what's been the most successful expansion team in sports?
Mm-hmm.
And so the quick pivot is, well, how are we defining it? Are we defining it based on financial success or championships?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
a little bit of both.
However you want to define it, the Islanders popped into this marketplace dominated by the Rangers for decades and put together one of the great dynasties this sport and this city has ever seen.
Right. So and it is the Islanders then.
I think they're up there. I don't know how to answer
I don't
the
think, I didn't know that they were an expansion team.
Yeah.
So when did they come into existence?
1972.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, of course, it's them.
I mean, think about this. Most teams are expansion teams. Like, that's where they come from. Like, even the Devils are an expansion team. They just didn't start as the New Jersey Devils. True story. They started off as the Kansas City Scouts. Am I right about the Scouts? Then, and this is where they're more known, they moved to Colorado to become the Colorado Rockies, and then they moved to New Jersey. My alarm is going off. And again, this alarm is not for me to take a pill. This alarm that's going off is because I promised something at 5:25 mm-hmm. on Friday. And that promise was Tommy Lugauer has to make a really big decision that will dictate his future. So when we come back, we will remind you what that decision is, and Tommy will have to make it. Plus, an interesting conspiracy theory around the New York Yankees and Marcus Stroman. We still have a lot to do as we take you right up until Yankee baseball. If you go back to Monday's show, trying to remember why this even was brought up, but I asked Tommy a very important question about the Yankees and his Mets-Yankees dynamic as a Met fan, which is, hey, come June when the Yankees are playing the Phillies or the Yankees are playing the Braves, who are you going to root for? And Tommy said, I'd root for the Braves or the Phillies. I was like, how could you do that? You know, now in this new schedule world we live in, the Yankees winning would benefit the Mets. And so I gave him 5 days to reconsider. Here is a little quick audio package to recap our discussion and the decision that Tommy Lugauer is about to make. When the New York Yankees play the Philadelphia Phillies for a weekend series in late July, who will you be rooting for?
Phillies. Evan, I've stuck to my guns on this my whole entire life. I will always stick to it. I should be applauded for this.
You're going
to
be rewarded, and the audience is going to be rewarded. We no longer will allow. We will dump it like a curse if Tommy ever says the Mets are big brother. He's acting like a
little
brother.
You can't say that.
That's
I agree.
It's done.
I'm not hurting the Mets. I'm doing it within the confines of my own vortex.
Tommy.
The Loogie vortex.
No, your vortex is wrong. If the Yankees.
It's my vortex.
If the Yankees lose to the Phillies, it hurts the Mets. That's just math. Simple math. You are putting your own petty differences ahead of your Met fandom. So you're
I
not.
I won't lead us.
No, you won't. You're dead now. So again, I'm going to give you one last chance. Not today. I want you to have some time to think about it. But this Friday at 5:25, you're going to be put on the spot one more time. Friday at 5:25, Tommy better declare his allegiance. If he gets it wrong, he's a baby brother forever. So here we are. My alarm went off at 5:25. We're now getting the answer at 5:37.
We hit the snooze button.
But, Tommy, you've had 5 days to think about it. Tiki was not here for the discussion on Monday. He's here today. Before you answer, would you agree with me, Tiki? He can no longer do the whole big brother, little brother shtick if he deems that his own
pettiness against the Yankees is more important than the Mets in the standings?
I agree, because that's what he was railing against with Yankee fans. Mm-hmm. They're being petty for against Met fans, so therefore they're little brother.
I agree.
So if you're going to be petty, you're still little brother.
So, Tommy, a lot on the line here. When the Yankees take on the Phillies later this year, who will you be rooting for?
You know what, Evan? I've had a few days to think about this. I've consulted with my generals, members of the Loogie Army, Positive Tommy's Army, and I thought about it because I have never once rooted for the Yankees in my life. That goes back to the World Series against the Diamondbacks, the World Series against the Phillies. I thought to myself, I'm like, this is bigger than me. Mm. This is about Big Brother. This is about leading the movement of the Mets now being Big Brother. And sometimes guys in movements, sacrifices need to be made. So to answer your question, if it benefits the Mets by the Yankees beating the Phillies, then let's go Yankees.
Wow. Mm. Whoa.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Whoa, that Big Brother shtick means a lot to him.
Just know that I'm doing this for that. That's why I'm doing it.
No, you're doing
Otherwise,
it.
I wouldn't. I would go you're down all swinging.
You're all in on the Big Brother shtick.
Go down, because you know why? That is a little brother thing to do.
Mm. Of course it is.
To have petty differences, and the Yankee fan has shown that in the early stages of this season. They did the things I did for years, so I would be hypocritical, and I would be thinking about myself instead of the greater goal.
I just want to remind everybody, 5:39 p.m., in case you want to clip it yourself, Tommy Lugauer uttered the words, "Let's go Yankees."
Yeah, there was no ambiguity about that.
None, which I'm proud of. Like, I think that this is why on Monday I said I'll give it till Friday. Because I think sometimes in life you need a few minutes. You need a few
days. Let's go Yankees. That sounded like Sean. We sound alike.
How did you do that so quick?
I'm good at what I do.
Now you'll use it against me, which is...
Have you ever used things like that against me?
Mm. No. I mean, I never would do anything like that. Go Yankees. That's negative, Tommy. Say that.
I don't know.
I would never clip something, Evan, out of context and then play it on the radio to throw it in your face. I would never do anything like that. Why can't I label...
That I'm waiting for it.
Darn it.
What do you got?
Hold on. Just
he's choking under the pressure.
I can't find him.
He's multitasking.
He has so many things that he's caught me saying that he doesn't know where to go. Like, he's got let's go.
I don't think he's trying to catch you. I think he's trying to catch your...
Catch my what?
Your...
Oh, Jet?
Your son.
Hey,
no,
right. The Mets suck thing where we own it.
Yeah, we
are. The Mets do suck sometimes.
Right, I would never do things like...
Let's go Knicks.
Things like that, or...
Go Yankees.
I would never do things like that.
No. But I stand by those things because there were moments where I rooted for those teams because it benefited my team. The Knicks are going to kick ass tonight? See, that was edited, so that doesn't count.
I would never edit anything like that.
But here's what I think is really, really important. And let this be a lesson in life. When someone gives the wrong answer, which Tommy did on Monday, don't throw them in jail.
Well,
give them time, because it gave Tommy 5 days, Teak, and he came around.
It was an impulse reaction. It was Tommy not thinking. It was Tommy being so angered for whatever reason, even though he won the Soto lottery, mm-hmm. at the Yankees, that he can't help but root against them, no matter the circumstances.
I get you.
It is the definition, the cliche definition of cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Well said.
Thankfully, Tommy came to a very smart, prudent decision to keep his beautiful nose.
And I hate myself for it.
Good job, Tommy. I think you made the right decision.
I guess.
Now, before we get back to your phone calls, I want to lay out a conspiracy theory for you that I think everyone should keep an eye on tonight. The Yankees are obviously playing the San Francisco Giants. Game is on. Gates are open. Pre-game show 6:25. Yankees-Giants first of three. So I want to put this in your head. I want to put this in Sean's head. I want this in everybody's head, and we will play along. Marcus Stroman has a vesting option. That vesting option is that if he gets to 140 innings, he will make $18 million next year.
Next year.
The Yankees didn't want to pay him $18 million this year. Mm-hmm. They looked to trade him for many months. So it is clear that
Reportedly look to trade him.
Reportedly. I do not think the Yankees want to pay Marcus Stroman $18 million next year. So how...
Not the way he's pitching right now.
How do they keep him in this rotation when they need him, but also keep him under 140? Well, he's made two starts. Let's go through it. With a 5-3 lead and two outs in the bottom of the fifth inning, or the top of the fifth inning, he gave up a two-out hit. With a pitch count of 81, Aaron Boone took him out. With a 5-3 lead and two outs in the fifth inning...
Was there anybody on?
He had just given up a two-out hit. Sorry, my snooze keeps going off of the Tommy decision.
All right, so one
two on. Two-out single.
One on.
5-3, and Boone goes lefty-lefty with Tim Hill versus Christian Yelich. Pitch count of 81. You sniff a little bit at that? A little sniffy?
81 is a lot of pitches.
81's a lot of pitches.
Yeah. Early in the season.
He's one out away from qualifying for a win.
Okay.
Okay. Start number two.
I thought it was five innings for the win.
Yeah, he was 4 2/3 innings.
I thought you said 5 2/3.
No, it's two outs in the fifth inning. And he gets pulled, pitch count of 81 after he gives up a two-out hit. His second start, the Yankees explode by scoring four runs in the fourth inning in Pittsburgh to give him an 8-4 lead. He is not allowed to start the fifth inning. He's pulled with a pitch count of 74.
Yeah, another three outs from a win.
Three outs from a win. Now, he wasn't great in the game, but you want to get innings out of your starting pitching. So 4 2/3 innings, pitch count of 81, gives up a two-out hit. Four innings with an 8-4 lead, pulled with a pitch count of 74. So 4 2/3 and four innings. I did some math. Mm-hmm. If Marcus Stroman makes every single start this season, okay, that would be about 31 or 32 starts. Okay? That's what you would do if you started every 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, to keep yourself under 140 over 32 starts, you'd have to average 4.3 innings or under. 4 2/3 and an even four. The New York Yankees may be manipulating the Marcus Stroman innings, so the option is not picked up.
Mm.
I just give you the info. Digest.
I think the sample size is way too small to draw any kind of conspiracy theory on it. But if this continues, let's say he's amazing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Nine straight he gets out, gets into the fourth inning, and then all of a sudden, gives up a hit or so. Gets through the inning and then doesn't come out for the fifth, then I'll believe you.
Keep an eye on it. That's all I'm saying.
It's got to be one of those, he is on, he's dominating,
yeah,
and they pull him anyways before I start questioning.
I think that what I am trying to say is I want to give everybody the facts. Those are the facts for his first two starts. That's the vesting option. In fact, I think we all need to keep an eye on it. Is that enough evidence for two starts? Of course,
something to keep an eye on.
That's my point. Right. I am not jumping to conclusions off of two starts. I wanted to give you the facts of the two starts.
Right.
I agree. I think if he dominates, it's impossible to manipulate this. Right. Like, if he's pitching five perfect innings, you're not pulling him out of the game.
But I think isn't that the point, though? That they kind of believe he's not going to be dominant.
Well, but I think it's easier to manipulate in situations where it's 5-3, two outs in the fifth, or it's 8-4 after four. I just think, and what I think we should do, and we will do it, and now I brought it to the audience's attention, let's keep an eye on this. This is a developing situation.
I think the Yankees are using some classic TV writing here. Make you look this way to avoid looking that way.
What does that mean?
Here's the way I've looked at this Marcus Stroman situation, Evan. I believe the Yankees looked at the last 2 years of Marcus Stroman, one with them, one with the Cubs, and saw a second half slide where he was not the same pitcher he was in the first half as opposed to the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Yankees look at the current rotation problems and know when Clark Schmidt returns, it's obviously Cookie Carrasco out, and they're going to have no choice but to roll forward. So how do they try to avoid the second half collapse of Marcus Stroman? Limit innings early. You're saying they're limiting the innings early because they don't want the vesting option. I think they're limiting the innings early because they know no matter what, they're going to get screwed with the vesting option. They want a better second half. And what are they making you look at over here? Well, they're making you look, why are they doing this with Stroman? I think they're doing it for that reason. And you know how I know that? They have the $18 million. In fact, they have $27 million that they've made us all forget that they've recouped an insurance money from Gerrit Cole.
Uh-huh.
And I believe instead of spending that money now, they know they have no choice but to roll out Marcus Stroman, and they're taking some of that, the 18 of that 27, that's a little rollover, and they know they're on the hook for Stroman next year.
Huh? What'd you get out of that?
He's basically saying that because they don't have any other pitching options, they need Marcus Stroman to be good throughout the season. So they're not going to burn him out early on in the season by going unnecessarily seven
they've already accounted for the money that we've all forgotten about conveniently. Spent nowhere.
We haven't forgotten about it. We're waiting for them to use it in the proper way.
And I'm telling you how they're using it.
They're going to use it to pay for Marcus Stroman next year?
That's their accountants have crunched the numbers. 18 of that 27 is going to Stroman
next year. As we sit here on April 11th, and there's a lot of factors that can change this, do you think Marcus Stroman is going to hit 140 innings?
I kind of do.
You kind of do?
I think the Yankees are in a no-win situation.
Do you think, Tiki, Marcus Stroman is going to hit those 140 innings as we sit here today?
No.
I kind of agree with you. I don't think he will.
Yeah.
And just for context.
He'll be 34 years old in a couple weeks.
Don't have a lot of depth here.
It doesn't matter about the depth. I just don't think he's going to get there.
Just keep this in mind for context. Last year with the Yankees, Marcus Stroman made 29 starts and a bullpen appearance. He got to 154. So he amassed that number, but not by a lot. A year before that with Chicago, in which he had the All-Star first half, he only made 25 starts and got to 136. He finished 3.5 innings short. Year before that with Chicago, 25 starts, 138.
Okay, if you're telling
me. Two of the last 3 years, he did not get to that number. Mm-hmm. And I think that through the combination of him maybe not pitching effectively, the Yankees being a little bit quicker on the hook, and the possibilities of getting healthier with Clark Schmidt on his way back, with the eventual return, hopefully, of Luis Gil, I think by hook or by crook, he's not getting a 140.
So where's that $27 million getting spent?
Does it need to be? It doesn't need to be. So I mean, I'm not worried about it. It's found money at this point.
Found money. You lost your ace.
No, I think they should use it.
But you can't worry about something that's. He's not there, so you can't worry about
it. But isn't that kind of point of taking insurance out on a contract so you're able to help use that money to replace what you lost?
Yes. But it's also not paying a guy who's hurt.
Well, it's also not available right now for the most part. Like, that's a trade deadline kind of move. Because other than Nolan Arenado, who we've talked a lot about, who's available? Where are you spending the money on?
Mm-hmm.
I guess Luis Severino at the deadline.
You got to wait. You got to wait till July. Let's see what your needs are. Now, what I would say, and maybe we'll disagree, Teak, is when we get to July and the Yankees are in a pennant race and there's a clear, obvious need and there are players that are available, I will turn on this microphone and say, hey, let's not forget that insurance money. They better spend it on this player.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you, but saying that today on April 11th, I mean, who do you want them to get?
I'm not telling you I want him anywhere to get. I think what they're going to turn around and do is we're going to ride the horse that's Stroman, because they're probably not going to have a lot of teams when six make the playoffs in each league stealing starting pitching like that.
By hook or by crook, he's not getting a 140.
Yeah, I just don't think he's good enough to get to 140.
That could be a two, by the way. It's not all...
That's a separate cut. Look, if you think he's just not going to be good enough, that's different.
Here's where the Yankees can't manipulate things. I'm being dead serious. If this guy dominates, Boone is not pulling him after four or five innings.
No, you're right. That's why it'll be more interesting with all respect to the stats you just gave about his first two outings, it'll be more interesting when he has a elite game going through five innings and see what happens.
You know what you do? If you really got the plan of, I want to limit him to 140, let's say Cashman, and I've got no proof he's done this, but Cashman says, all right, Booney, use him, try to win. I want 140 in the back of your mind. The way you do it is, let's say Stroman dominates tonight. Mm-hmm. You take him out maybe an inning earlier than you normally would. Instead of pushing him to 95 pitches, he's out after 82, scoreless.
And by the way, you can do it early in the season because there's no tax issues with the bullpen. You're not worried about the depth of your bullpen.
And you also can easily answer, it's early. Yeah. Like Sean even said, it's early.
It is early.
Right. No, I get
and
that.
And cold.
All of that's true. He pitches great tonight. You could still tell him after five and say, it's cold out. It's not great conditions. But it's worthy of keeping an eye on because this is business. They don't want to spend $18 million on Marcus Stroman next year. And there is a vesting option of 140 innings. And when he gets to that number, you've got to spend $18
million. Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.